Chloe would be well with her first taking. If not, then certainly by her second.
Twice?
McCreeve shot to his feet, inserting himself between them and Chloe.
Have you lost your minds?
Neva said, If you loved her, you'd do this for her. You've gotten her sick, and you're too selfish to do what's right. Think, Wolf. If nothing's changed, you'll simply poison her again. She won't survive it.
Gisella said,
It would likely kill her.
That gave Chloe pause. She didn't want to die, partly because she didn't want him to die. And after what he'd told her tonight, she couldn't imagine him wholeheartedly, unreservedly having sex with her, taking on her venom. In a faint tone, she said,
McCreeve, I don't want another man, but I can't take any more poison, and I feel like I only have so much time left on the clock.
He turned back to the bed to gently cup her face.
Let me see you well. If this is how I keep you alive, then no man could be more willing. I will do anything to keep you.
Neva added, Even if you've neutralized the hatred, your beast would kill her on the night of the full moon. She's too weakened to withstand it.
Chloe gazed away. Her bones still felt like they were shattering. What had been a pleasurable romp with his beast before would be torture now.
I can't. Too much.
Chloe, my beast will not rise. I know you have no reason to trust me in this, but I'm asking you to believe in me anyway.
Gisella shook her head.
The moon is dawning even now. A mated Lyke can't suppress his beast through sheer will alone. It's simply not possible.
He bared his teeth at her.
Just because it's never been done before? Tonight, I'll do whatever it takes.
You gamble with her life.
First of all, it's our lives. If she dies, I'll follow her. Second of all, you've never seen a Lyke with more cause to be gentle with his mate.
As he tenderly collected her in his arms, he appeared haunted with regret. What had happened when she'd been out?
Mother, you're not considering this!
Neva's hand landed on a sword hilt?
Your brothers will be furious.
She moved to block the door.
I believe your people owe me this,
McCreeve said.
I'm taking my mate home. Now get out of the bloody way.
Undaunted, Neva said,
Chloe needs to decide.
In a flash of movement, she unsheathed her sword, pointing it at him.
This is her life, her decision.
Aye. It is.
He drew Chloe close to his warm, bare chest, pressing her against his heart. When he gazed down at her, it sped up. His eyes were gold and filled with an emotion she'd never seen in him.
It's not my responsibility to feed you. It's my goddamned privilege. Let me do this.
But my venom, you'll have to take it this time.
Listen to me, Mokria. I crave any bond with you. We scour this earth for more. I want my body bound to yours, my soul chained to yours. Any tie I can find, I'll bind us even tighter. We'll have marriage, bairns, a new line between us.
In a hoarse voice, he said,
I can do this for us. I can. I'm pleading with you, lass. Believe in me.
Will charged past the incubi guards, with his barely conscious mate secure in his arms. He leapt through the portal to hit the ground running in the woods. Chloe had trusted him, putting her life in his hands. If he weren't besieged by panic, he would howl to the world about such a female.
Save her.
Hundreds of years ago, his instinct had commanded him thus, but he hadn't been able to save his mother. He gazed down at Chloe's limp body.
Just hold on, love.
As he ran for Connell, the moon broke through the dispersing clouds, and its light began filtering through the treetops. If he was going to be the first Lyke to deny his beast on the night of a full moon, he needed to avoid its seductive light. He dodged beams if he could, each one like a sizzling ray of sensation.
Just get to the keep.
Gisella had given him a potion for Chloe that would alleviate the worst of her pain, but only for a brief window.
Get her to the keep. Use the potion. Then make love to her.
Gently, though he never had before. When she moaned with pain, he doubted himself, his decision.
I've done wrong.
He'd known he was somehow to blame for this. His instinct certainly had known. It had been guiding him to destroy Ruel's memory before Will destroyed his mate with his own poison. Even now, he scented the lingering smoke from the cottage. The next rain would wash that stench away. Right before he shot from the woods, he thought he smelled another scent. The faintest hint of the old ones, far in the distance. Not died out? They would hold no menace for Will or his mate if she was claimed and marked with Will's bite. Soon. The keep was in sight. He'd have to cross the fields under the light. Could he prevent himself from turning and taking her in the grass? Some benevolent fate smiled down on him, cloaking the moon with drifting clouds.
We're almost there, Chloe.
He bolted through the doorway, up the stairs, with one great leap. In their room, he laid her on the bed, then dashed to the windows. Those bays were positioned to catch the moon's rise and set. As he stretched out his arms to clasp the drapes, the moon emerged from the clouds. Light blasted him like a spotlight. He shuddered, his beast stirring. Will snatched the curtains closed, shaking his head hard.
No, not tonight. Stay in your goddamned cage.
Back to his mate. As gently as he could, he removed her clothes, slashing off his own, then grabbed the potion bottle. Her shakes were growing worse, her teeth beginning to chatter.
The grief, it hurts so bad.
I know, baby, I know exactly. Here.
He opened the bottle.
You need to get this down.
He cupped the back of her head, raising her to drink. Some spilled down her lips. His chest twisted as he tenderly brushed the liquid away. Now, waiting.
What happened while I was out?
She asked in a hushed voice.
You're so different.
He brushed her hair from her forehead.
I'll explain it all tomorrow. For now, just know that I meant what I said. I want everything from you.
Her eyes grew a touch brighter.
But how can you forget what I am? Once I feel better, surely I'll strew.
He cut her off with a quick kiss.
You do not have that ability. A wee cambion like you has no control over me. You never did.
What?
Imagine my shock, after I blamed everything on your strew. Ah, lass, I've so much to make up for. Starting tonight. Just let me be her mate, he thought.
Can you truly keep the beast caged?
I've avoided the moon as much as possible. I can do this for you, Chloe. For us.
The pain's lessening. I feel a little stronger.
The first move she made was to stroke his cheek.
Heaven.
He'd fallen head over heels. He began to hope he could claim her heart as well. If he could save her. Reminded of the clock, he began kissing her neck, trailing to her breasts.
This first time must be quick, before the potion wears off.
All he had to do was be quick, yet gentle, and keep his beast at bay. What could possibly go wrong? As he took a nipple between his lips and started to suck, he dipped his hand between her thighs to sink a finger inside her.
Gods, her silken sheath was so hot as it clenched his finger.
Even in his panic, his cock went rock hard for that tightness, moisture welling atop the crown. By the time he'd moved to her other breast and wedged a second finger inside, she was rocking her hips, riding his fingers, responding so perfectly.
"Is this better, lass?"
She nodded.
"I'm ready, I think."
He would have liked to prepare her more, to take her to the very edge. They had no time. He moved between her legs, fisting his cock, aiming it against her opening. With a shallow roll of his hips, he began inching his length inside her.
"Am I hurting you?"
Her eyes widened.
"No, but something's different."
She bit her bottom lip.
I just got a hint of what's to come, so to speak.
His pre-come.
"I imagine those hints are not in short supply. Even now you've got me crazed for you."
She moaned, wriggling on his rod to get him deeper.
"It's pure energy, like adrenaline, stronger than I've ever known."
"Because it's no longer tainted," he thought.
Pressing wet kisses to her swollen breasts, he rocked between her taut thighs. When Chloe gripped his shoulders and met him, the beast gloried in her wellness and wanted its turn inside her. This was the first full moon with their mate. The night was the beast's by right. And the beast wanted its due. Will refused it. He skimmed his fingers down Chloe's side, then reached between them to stroke her clitoris. He groaned to find that little bud so firm and sensitive. She moaned, undulating her hips for more touch, for more of his shaft.
"Ah, your eyes are glowing."
She promptly closed them.
You hate that color?"
"No longer, because I can see them clearly now."
He kissed one lid, then the other.
"I find them so beautiful, Chloe. I need to see them. If your eyes glow, I'll know you're getting better."
She peeked them open. Whatever she saw in his expression made her relax, the corners of her lips curling. Aye, he needed to see her eyes, and he needed to feel her succubus pull. He knew what he felt for her, knew he would nourish her well. And the more she fed, the stronger she'd be. Only when he experienced that last pull from her would his worry ease. He lay fully atop her, forehead to forehead, his hands snaking behind her to clamp her arse with splayed fingers. He held her in place beneath his body so that her stiff nipples raked along his sweating chest, so that the root of his erection ground her clit with every thrust. Though he scarcely knew how, he was controlling his beast. Yet the need to mark her neck lashed him. She was still too weak. He could defeat that urge. For now. A beam of light from the rising moon slipped through a crack in the curtains and shone directly into his face. Light illuminated his ice-blue eyes.
"McCreeve?"
Though Chloe was already stronger, each time his shaft throbbed inside her she got a hit of adrenaline, she wasn't ready for the beast's ferocity. And the pain medicine had begun wearing off.
I need you to stay with me."
He pinned her wrists above her head, his face just above hers, his gaze boring into hers.
"I'll give you whatever you need. I've wrested control of it, Chloe."
With a stunned expression, he said,
"I'm in control. Of it. Of everything."
For the first time in his life,
I'm going to be right for you.
He leaned down to take her lips. Between kisses, she murmured,
You are, you are.
He continued surging his big body over hers, covering her completely. With each thrust, his hips stroked against her thighs. Between her calves, his muscled ass flexed to drive his cock deeper, penetrating her to the hilt. His chest rubbed over her breasts while the base of his unyielding shaft hit her sensitive clitoris. She was about to come for this hot, lathered male, and the dizzying intensity of her building orgasm was frightening. With his voice rough and his accent pronounced, he said something in Gaelic.
What did you say?
You've let me tend to your fire, and tonight it's searing me clean. I can be what you need.
At her ear, he rasped,
I'll feed you well, mate. Give you everything I have in me. Always.
He circled his hips, grinding his thick shaft against her.
All for you.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
More thrusts, more grinding, more McCreeve. That dizzy intensity kept mounting until she was whimpering, bucking beneath him, two slick bodies roiling. She was insensible, a slave to pleasure, to whatever this man wanted from her. Rapture struck.
McCreeve!
Pounding waves seized her as she screamed.
More!
In a wet rush, her sheath contracted along his length, hungry for his heat to flood her.
Chloe, ah, gods, you're milking me so hard.
She clenched him so tightly, he stopped thrusting. His back bowed.
Woman, it's strong,
he bellowed in disbelief.
Take it from me,
he roared as streams of hot seed shot into her. She was still writhing with her own orgasm as his semen filled her, pulse after scorching pulse. At the last instant, his entire body jerked.
There's your pull, baby. That's it.
Jaw slack, eyes rolling back in his head, he grated,
Take it deep for me. Take my seed so deep.
When Will's brain could register thought once more, one realization was foremost.
I'm her mate.
Chloe had strengthened him. Indeed, his new power was so staggering he feared hurting her. She lay still with her eyes closed. When he started hardening again, he forced himself to withdraw and roll his weight off her.
Are you better, lass?
He thought he'd been gentle with her. Tonight, he'd leashed his beast so totally he knew he could handle it as well as any Lyke. Better than. Still, he must have hurt her.
Chloe, did I...
She suddenly arched her back, arms falling over her head. When her palms slapped the headboard, the solid wood cracked. Will bit out a short, shocked,
Whoa!
She reared up, eyes alight.
You're my mate?
Oh, I.
He beat a fist over his chest.
I could stop a locomotive right now.
Good. You're going to need all the strength you can muster.
That's so.
He rose to open the drapes. When he faced her, she was on her hands and knees, crawling across the bed to him.
I've got the moon on my back, my beast in submission, and the hottest piece of Cambian arse feeding me power. I can take anything you can dish out, and your neck's about to bear my bite.
When she visibly shivered, he said,
I'm back in the game with my bonny mate, no? I believe I just scored a hat trick.
You're officially off the bench, she breathed. Cleared for play.
with a fangirl who fell for you.
He lunged for her. She leapt for him. He caught her in midair, twisting to pin her against the wall as he shoved his cock home.
Ah, Chloe!
She took his mouth with her own so hard their teeth knocked together before they found each other's lips. Both their tongues thrust, both their hips rocked. Deep kisses, hard fucking. She locked her legs around his waist, holding on for dear life, because he was plowing her cunny like a piston. Bliss ratcheted to another record height. When she sank her claws into his back, he howled with satisfaction, and did the same to hers. Though his beast remained dormant, Will's fangs lengthened to mark his mate. He and Chloe bounced from one wall to the next, shaking the entire structure. Between kisses, she said,
I hope your keep's sturdy.
It's our keep, our Wolfslayer, and we're about to find out.
He took her mouth once more, and she licked his tongue, sucking it.
Mercy me.
But then she broke away with a breathy plea.
Mark me hard, McCreeve.
You want my bite?
I love you. I belong to you. And I want everyone to know it.
Just stopping himself from roaring with triumph, he gripped her hair, tugging till her neck was bared to him.
Is Lemsa so, Chloe McCreeve? And I'll be marking you as hard as I'm loving you.
With a snarl, he sank his fangs into the tender skin of her neck, biting the ever-living hell out of her. 49. On into the early morning, long after the moon had set, Will still hadn't gotten enough of Chloe, was stiffening inside her yet again. But his lass's lids were heavy. After their exertions, his young mate had inevitably grown sleepy, not from sickness, from a well-earned need for rest.
I'm signaling for a T.O.
Her voice was throaty from her screams of pleasure. He'd been insatiable, taking her repeatedly, determined to satisfy her in every way. They'd both been so much stronger that at one point he had indeed worried about Connell. Their new home had proved as enduring as time.
Perhaps when you reach my age, you will not peak so early.
He tucked her hair behind her wee ear, marveling at his female.
Adorable and sexy all at once. I'll grant you a reprieve, but know that it's reluctant and very temporary.
Good.
She was dreamily running the pads of her fingers over his chest. He'd sought peace with her, and he'd found it. Will felt right with the world for the first time. He could recognize that feeling just by virtue of how long he'd felt wrong. Chloe had given him this. He'd conquered and claimed. And gods, so had she.
I still can't believe you kept your beast on the leash.
He shrugged modestly, though he was damn proud of himself.
You'll only see it on the night of the full moon, if that's your wish.
Can it hear me?
Aye.
He let it stir.
Try now.
She cupped his face, gazing into his eyes.
You were so good tonight. In 1 month's time, I'll have the sweetest treats for you.
Putting the beast to bed, Will said,
And what treats are those? A Lyke's curiosity is a powerful thing.
I know,
she murmured with a coy grin, even as her lids were growing heavier.
You'll have to wait to see, McCreeve.
He curled a finger under her chin.
Well.
Hmm?
I want you to call me Will.
His name on her lips and a smile on her face, she fell asleep, with him still inside her. 50.
You're deft at this,
McCreeve told her as they practiced attacks and parries with swords. For the last 4 days, he'd been training her to use various weapons so she could protect herself, though he'd had to admit,
You're so strong, you could probably just crush your opponents.
Chloe had never in her life felt so powerful, or so connected to another being. If she thought she'd been energized from sex before, she'd seen nothing. Evidently, now that her big Scott was in love with her and they were mated both ways, he was providing only the highest grade energy. If she were still playing sports, his stuff would be banned. And McCreeve, or rather, Will, was stronger than he'd ever been. She was trying to remember to call him Will, but it would take a while. He thrust his sword with a quick jab. She easily deflected it.
Sword fighting is just like soccer. Read opponent, adjust tactic, misdirect. I am going to be so badass at this.
He scratched his head with one hand while he twirled his sword with the other.
You kind of already are.
So, are there any lore competitions I could enter?
Today would have been check-in for the Olympics training camp, and even though a fascinating new life was opening up for her, she still missed aspects of her old one.
There's one competition. We old ones like to call it survival.
She laughed.
Smartass.
He grinned.
Do no worry. If you've got a skill in the lore, there will be someone around to test you, especially during the accession. But then, I have a feeling you'll enjoy war. It's like sports, though sudden death actually means death.
He subtly telegraphed to the left, then struck to the right. She blocked and misdirected with a two-handed strike upward, only to change it mid-air to a one-handed sweep. McCreeve barely blocked it, raising his brows again.
You vow you've never held a blade in your hands?
It's in my blood, remember?
With a saucy grin, she brushed off one shoulder, then the other.
Raw talent. Rookie phenom. At least I won't embarrass myself with the new sword-fighting fam.
He'd relayed all that had occurred in the Ubis realm. She'd been amazed by the developments, convinced, as he was, that everything had been fated. That littlest hope spark? Now an inferno never to be extinguished. The morning after the full moon, she'd wanted to let her new kin know that she was okay, but there'd been no need. They'd found a note from Neva affixed to the front door.
Judging by the shock waves originating from Connell Keep throughout the night, we assume you've made a complete recovery, and that Uyam McCreeve, Lord of Connell, is indeed your fated mate. Please do us the honor of joining us for our cider fair.
The fair was this weekend, and McCreeve had readily agreed to take her.
They healed my mate. For that, I'll even be civil to Neva.
In truth, she was a little embarrassed to see them again. By now, everyone in that realm would know she'd been hauled off by a ravenous werewolf for Richter-scale sex under the full moon. That was probably scandalous, even to the Ubis. She shrugged.
Oh, well, I'll be sure to wear red.
Only a few things marred her honeymoon with McCreeve. One was his unrelenting remorse over the way he'd treated her. She made sure to jank him continually for all his misconceptions, which seemed to ease his guilt. Yesterday, he'd drawn her close, saying against her hair,
I cannot get enough of you, Chloe. God's help me, I know I never will.
I'm sure it's just my strew. Oh, wait.
He nipped her neck, making her squeal with laughter. Her confusion over her father was another source of worry. When she and McCreeve talked late into the night, they'd discussed his childhood and Ruel, his parents, and her dad. By clinging to some tenuous belief in his goodness, was she being loyal or willfully blind? McCreeve had been grievously harmed by him. immortals all over the lore had. Her relatives believed Preston Webb had killed Chloe's own mother. Yet she didn't feel right passing judgment until she'd heard his side of the story, which might never happen. For McReeve's part, he'd relinquished his urge for vengeance, explaining,
"I canna kill my mate's sire. I'm too much in his debt. Without him, no Chloe."
Now, McReeve said,
"I do not understand why Monroe has not rung me back."
Another worry. He couldn't get in touch with his brother. McReeve had left his first message for Monroe the day after the full moon. She remembered him placing his phone on the bathroom counter just before they'd taken their first shower together. She shivered to recall that shower. McReeve had knelt before her, placing a hand over her belly.
"When you're ready, I'm going to put a babe in here."
His hand had been so hot, even in the water.
"Mayhap even twins."
He'd gazed up at her, his eyes flickering.
"Honor me so?"
Breathless, she'd only been able to nod.
"Tagra acham orst, Chloe. I love you, and I'm about to show you how much."
Then he'd leisurely, lovingly, washed her from head to toe, still learning her body. When she'd done the same to him, one thing led to another. By the time he'd finally released her to get dressed, the water had grown cold, and she'd been grinning ear to ear like she'd just meddled. Since then, they always shared showers. As he'd repeated,
"We like to conserve water around here."
And so it went with them.
"Has Monroe ever gone this long without calling?" she asked.
"Since telephones were invented, Monroe has never not returned my calls. I worry."
In a gruffer tone, he said,
"Feels strange to be apart from him again."
She couldn't imagine how it must feel to be separated from one's twin, wondering if he was safe and well.
"Let's give it to the end of the day. If no one at the compound has seen him, then we'll return to Louisiana."
He lowered his sword.
"You'd miss the fair with your family?"
"Monroe's my family, too," she said,
making McReeve's brows draw tight with feeling.
"Why don't you go try him again? I'll chill for a bit."
He nodded.
"Dunna leave the immediate grounds, no?"
After giving her a sweet kiss, he jogged off. Alone, she strolled through the courtyard, treading upon cobblestones where countless McReeves had walked long before Will was born. God, this place was so beautiful. Over these 4 days, he drilled into her head that this was her home.
"Connell belongs to you as much as to me. You're Chloe McReeve, lady of this keep."
She could invite whomever she wanted, could decorate it however she chose. She wouldn't touch a thing, already found it perfect. Finally, she lived in a home with character. No McMansion here. She and McReeve had even talked about reviving the area, bringing in more sheep, inviting clan members to resettle in the old village of Connell. As she walked, she ran her fingertips along the cool stone wall. She could feel the history here, and it grounded her. No longer did she feel like her world had been upended. She'd landed on her feet. Here, with McReeve. Maybe the lads could come and stay for the summer. She missed them. But then she might be seeing them directly. She'd meant what she'd said earlier. She and McReeve would be on a plane tonight if he didn't hear from his brother.
"Chloe."
She whirled around at the strange voice. Standing not 10 feet from her was the same towering, cloaked demon that had been in her father's study.
"You!"
She raised her sword.
"What do you want from me?"
She didn't expect a real answer. Last time, it had barely been able to speak. It surprised her by saying,
"You don't recognize me?"
Its words were still rough, though much clearer than before. It stepped closer. Recalling this creature's strength, she choked up on her sword. Should I? Chloe was first and foremost a fighter, but she wasn't above calling on her ally. She drew a breath to scream a heads up for McCreeve. The creature pulled its hood past its horns. Her scream died on her lips. Her sword hand went limp, the blade clattering to the ground.
Dad?
It was him, but he'd been altered. When she'd seen him before, he'd been obscured in shadow. Now every feature was sharp in glaring daylight. He had unnaturally pale and flawless skin, ageless. Tapered fangs had replaced his teeth. Matte black horns rose from his head like an old-timey devil drawing. His irises were so dark, they brought to mind the bottom of an abyss. Yet he was arresting, with the air all Lorians seemed to possess.
Dad, what happened to you?
She rushed up to him, tentatively touching his face.
You were the one in our house. Why didn't you talk to me?
With a claw-tipped hand, he brushed a curl of hair from her face.
I was trying to ask you if you were still mortal, but I'd only recently been transformed. I've had to relearn how to speak, how to move, how to think.
Transformed into what? You need to explain this before I freak the hell out. And before McCreeve scents you.
She lowered her hand, reminded of what her dad had done to the male she loved.
Start spilling.
A hint of Dad's old smile rose.
I see you haven't changed, even with your own transformation.
She bit out, talk. He inclined his head.
I was being hunted by one of the most fearsome vampires in the lore. Lothair, the enemy of old. I knew sooner or later he would find my hideout. But I was prepared. Just before he drained me to death, I popped a capsule full of blended immortal blood. Though he did kill me, I was resurrected.
As what?
The blood contained a mix of several creatures. My powers will be endless once they've all manifested.
She crossed to the courtyard's low wall, sinking down on it.
Why didn't you warn me about the lore and what I might be? Why didn't you tell me about the Order?
I thought I could keep you separate from all this. God, I wanted that. Your life was uncomplicated, so focused. I never wanted to take that away from you.
You could have told me what I was turning into before you left. You gave me zero explanation, just left me an encyclopedia of creatures you hated.
That night I was dumbfounded.
He sat beside her.
Your blood had tested out as human again and again for 24 years. Even our most advanced arrays picked up nothing.
I was so alone, and you just disappeared for weeks,
she said, hating how weak she sounded.
I forced myself not to contact you, fearing that would put you in Lothair's crosshairs, a place you never want to be. Only after I'd turned did I come home for you. But you disappeared that night.
Yeah. The witches found me.
Irritation flickered over his uncanny face.
I was betrayed by a former ally.
Wonder what that feels like.
He reached for her, but she drew back.
Chloe, please.
Did you do all the things I've heard? Torturing Lorians? Killing them in front of their children?
He let his hand drop.
I did what any general at war would do to his enemy. I did whatever it took.
Admitting it so easily? Even proudly? The fears about her dad that she'd barely allowed herself to entertain all came crashing down on her.
I believed those creatures were subhuman, which meant they needed to be destroyed.
though she felt even more stunned, she forced herself to her feet.
And now what? You've switched teams? You're a Detris now?
Precisely. We in the Order knew we would need stronger soldiers to defeat immortals. To fight the monsters, we would have to become them. So I headed a project designed to blend Lorian blood for human use. When my death was imminent, I decided to test it on myself.
He scrubbed a palm over one horn.
The transition has been challenging.
She could tell this. His fangs had cut his lips. Blood trickled from the corner of his mouth, but he didn't seem to notice.
With each day that I come into my powers, I've recognized that immortals will always prevail. You felt the strength. You must understand that humans have no chance against us.
Who the hell is fighting against humans?
A war is inevitable, and I've been on the wrong side.
She sensed a growing tension inside him, as if his veneer of calm was fracturing.
After a lifetime of working to defend humanity, after all the sacrifices I made, I finally comprehended that I was protecting the weak when I should have been championing the strong.
Dad, no! Why does it have to be one or the other?
He floated to his feet with an eerie fluidity.
It's become so clear to me.
His abyss eyes gleamed with an unnerving light.
They have to be destroyed.
Listen to what you're saying. Destroy mankind? Don't be like this. Just don't.
As if he hadn't heard her, he said,
There are only two people in the world that I love, and now you are both immortal. This is all meant to be.
She was almost too afraid to ask.
Who's the other one?
Declan Chase, the Blademan. He's a son to me. I found him when he was just a scared teenager, knew he had Lorian blood in him.
In a fond tone, he said,
I raised him to hate immortals, to battle them. But he saw the light before I did. Now he's a champion of the lore. I'll take you to him. I want you to meet.
Why would I ever?
With you by my side, he might not kill me on sight.
When she gazed blankly at him, Dad said,
Before my epiphany, I had his female studied.
A bloody, sheepish grin.
He was violently displeased.
You think?
McCreeve, too, had been studied.
But that was before I discovered the true path.
He was getting worked up again. He, of the stiff upper lip, was unraveling.
With your help, we can convince Declan to join us, to start a new order. My daughter and my son will be my first generals.
Who are you?
Chloe thought.
I don't know what's scarier, your insane plans or the fact that you think I'll be on board with them.
I'll convince you. I must.
He rubbed his hand over his mouth, smearing blood all over his chin.
The three of us will lead the charge to purge the earth of the weak.
Insane.
As she stared at his semi-familiar face, she realized her dad had ceased to be the last night she'd seen him as a man, the night he'd given her the book. It had been his deathbed gift. This being was not her father, not Dustin Todd, the devoted dad who'd cheered her pattering around the yard with a miniature soccer ball. Her eyes watered. This was Commander Preston Webb.
My dad's dead.
With these new powers, I can usher in a new era,
he said with maniacal fervor.
I'll have a Lyca's senses, a Veman's strength, and a Fae's speed. I'll be able to harvest nourishment from lightning like a Valkyrie. I already have a vampire's strengths. I can reap power and a being's memories from blood, but have no aversion to the sun. I can trace over the entire world.
You must be very proud,
she bit out, wondering how to get away from him. But first, she had to know one thing.
Did you kill my mother? His expression didn't change, even as he nodded.
I loved Fiori more than anything, yet she filled me with doubt, made me question my mission.
In an absent tone, he murmured,
Guarding the monstrous ones was relatively easy. It was far more difficult to guard the innocent-faced ones. The beautiful ones. They called to our sympathy.
He shook his head.
And then she tried to take you from me.
Probably because you would have killed me if I'd tested out as a Lorian.
No. I wasn't ready to accept the lore for her, but I was for you. Part of the reason that I chose to take that capsule was because I knew you were going to transition.
That hyped up blood. Even with McCreeve's new strength, he might not be able to match Webb's. Which meant she needed to get this being out of here before McCreeve returned. You have to go. Do you understand whose home this is?
It belongs to the Lyke from my prison. I drank someone with that knowledge, not to death, of course. We're going to need all our numbers.
He grinned with ravaged lips.
How do you think I found you?
'51.
We vowed not to tell you anything.
What the hell?
Will snapped, wishing he could throttle Ronan over the phone.
My brother's missing?
The boy said,
Monroe heard about these warlocks who were turning humans into Lyke and enslaving them.
Will cursed. There was a reason Lyke never turned humans into their kind. Turned Lyke were violent, unthinking creatures.
The warlocks are called those best forgotten, no?
He was familiar with that sect. Around each accession, they created armies of Lyke on their home plane of Quandum.
That's them. Some real bad dudes. They sacrifice nymphs. Talk about a waste. I mean, what are they thinking?
Boy!
Right. Anyway, so Monroe and Marek and six others were going to raid the lair and free some new wolves. They had a nymph informant who knew of a limited-time weak spot in the Forgotten's defences. It was the night of the full moon, so it should have been a snap. Before he left, Monroe told me and Ben that you already had more on your plate than you can handle. We were not to tell anyone of this, but especially not you. Unless they didn't return by today.
Will had known something was wrong with Monroe after there'd been no response to his last message.
Monroe, I need to speak with you. Where the hell are you? I went to the bloody Ubis realm. No shade, can you believe it? Chloe has relatives there. They've honor, and they're strong. Ah, brother, you'll not believe the things I've seen and learned. Call me back.
Then this was a setup. To what end? Why risk an 8 Lyke raid? Ronan said,
Lachlan, Gareth, and Bowen are all meeting here at midnight to organize a full-scale assault. No less than 100. Happy accession, you know what I mean?
Tell Lachlan and the others that I'll be there tonight.
You bring in Chloe?
Ronan asked.
If I can help it, she'll never leave my side.
Good man. See you later.
Will hung up the phone and bellowed,
Lass, we need to leave. Now, Monroe's in a spot.
No answer.
Chloe?
He inhaled for her scent, past the fragrance of the Syrah tree and the damp of the old stone, caught it.
Wait, that cannot be right.
Will smelled myriad beings. Lyke, vampire, demon, even Valkyrie. He took off in a sprint, barreling headlong for his mate.
Now, beast, now we earn our keep.
Chloe gave a cry when the double doors to the courtyard blasted open, flying off their hinges. McCreeve charged out, fangs bared, claws flared. An awing sight. With a deafening roar, he lunged through the air at Webb.
Impact!
McCreeve tackled him so hard that the two males crashed over the cobblestones, plowing them like a tiller. Stone rained in all directions. Webb might be coming into his strength, but McCreeve was protecting his mate.
He pinned Webb, one hand crushing his windpipe, his other hand raised. Webb dug his claws into McCreeve's arm, flailing, unable to budge a Lyke's hold. Just as McCreeve was about to swipe his glinting black claws through his prey, Chloe cried, "It's him, McCreeve! It's Webb!" McCreeve stayed his hand mid-strike. With a hard shake of his head, he began caging his beast before her eyes. Voice rough, he said,
"How do you understand this?"
She answered, "He's turned himself into a mix of creatures."
"Tell me what you want me to do. It'll be done."
He'd said he would give up his quest for retribution against Webb, but to see him shake off his hatred and ferocity like this for her. Chloe's eyes watered once more. McCreeve was giving her the choice. Though she'd accepted her dad's death and knew this wasn't her father, she didn't want McCreeve to ever regret killing her sire.
"Let him go."
With a shove, McCreeve released him, then hastened to stand in front of her, shielding her. Webb rose with that creepy grace, rubbing his throat. "He's leaving, for good," she said. "Isn't that right, Webb?" He narrowed his eyes at McCreeve.
"Mercy from a Lyke. And after everything I had done to you, I remember you were one of Dixon's favorites. She loved to talk about your experiments over biscotti and coffee."
"Not my dad. Not my dad."
McCreeve tensed even more, but his tone was steady when he said,
"Aye, a small price to pay. If not for my time in prison, I would not have found Chloe."
She moved beside McCreeve, taking his hand.
"You think you're good enough for my daughter?" Webb asked. "I think she's chosen me. Now get the fuck off our lands."
Webb offered his hand to Chloe.
"Come with me, daughter. We can start our own kingdom."
With a growl, McCreeve clutched her closer, pressing her against his side.
"I'm staying here," she said, "where I belong. And if you ever cared about me at all, you'll leave and never come back."
As if she hadn't spoken, Webb said,
"I can trace Lyke. Do you think you can stop me from snatching her away if I want to?" "She can stop you, old man. You underestimate your daughter at your peril."
At that, Webb told her,
"I'll go. But know that you'll always have me, daughter. I'll forever be in the shadows watching over you."
He smiled a macabre grin.
"In time you will change your mind. It might take 100 years or 2, but you will." "You keep to those shadows, Webb," McCreeve grated. "Emerge from them, and I vow to the Lord I'll take your goddamned head." "Goodbye, for now, Chloe," Webb murmured, just before he vanished into thin air.
Her knees gave out, but McCreeve caught her, pulling her to his chest.
"I'm so sorry, lass. I know how much this must hurt."
She rubbed her watering eyes.
"It does. But I don't consider that man my dad. That was Webb. Dustin Todd died 2 months ago."
"Ah, Mokria, please do not cry."
McCreeve had told her how he'd felt to see her tears, so she tried to stem them.
"It's going to take a while for me to come to terms with this."
He pressed a kiss against her hair.
"I'll help you. I'll be there for you."
"I know you will. But I can sort out my feelings later. Did I hear you yelling that Monroe is in trouble?"
"Aye. Can I tell you while you pack a bag?"
When she nodded, he took her elbow to squire her inside. As she stuffed clothes into her new carry-on, he explained everything Ronan had told him, a tale of warlocks and raids and sacrificial nymphs. He finished by telling her,
"Monroe was most likely captured."
"How are you handling this?" she asked.
His eyes were golden. "No beast raging?"
I'd know if he'd died, McCreeve said simply. My beast would be in a howling frenzy for its brother wolf, which means Monroe's likely in a warlock dungeon, spitting mad. Or...
Or what?
Chloe, they enslave our kind, building armies of lycae as mindless as revenants or ghouls. The warlocks call them vassals. We do not know how they control born lycae. Now turned lycae, that I can understand.
Why? How are they turned?
She zipped up her bag.
A human must be bitten by a lycae whose beast is fully risen. With the bite, the lycae transfers part of his beast into the mortal.
She blinked at him. Different from a claiming bite?
Aye, and more. The catalyst for the change is death.
Her eyes narrowed. So all those turned humans had to die first?
And few will rise. There is no guarantee. All we know is that in turned lycae, the former mortal has zero control over the beast that's been shoved inside him.
Like McCreeve had once had little control, this must be hitting him hard.
It takes years of work to get them even into the realm of civilized. Monroe, being Monroe, would have been ready to adopt a legion of noob lycae. I'm not surprised whatsoever that he led that raid.
Bag in hand, she started for the door. We have to go break him out.
We?
He followed, collecting the bag from her.
You think you're ready to tussle with warlocks?
At the top of the stairs, she said, I've been preparing for this all my life. I just didn't know it. I won't cower from a charge, won't panic under pressure. If 11 of them bear down on me, I can run circles around them. Think about it, Will. I'd make a hell of a wingman.
I'll scout the field of play.
He brushed his knuckles over her face.
But T-Rex's spot on first string is looking solid. A pity unsuspecting warlocks.
She tilted her head. I thought you'd react differently. But then she'd thought she would react differently to seeing her father.
Expecting me to lose my shite? I've got my mate, and she's healthy and hale. My brother's in trouble, but he will not be for much longer. You could say I'm as close to Zen as a werewolf can get.
And his calm fueled her own. Connected.
This is not the first time a battle has been needed, and it will not be the last. Chloe, I'm hankering for this.
Then so was she. Excitement began filling her. Anticipation. Hotters eager to go free hot?
His lips curled.
Now you've got the idea. Of course, we'll have to recharge on the flight over.
If we do that, then we're going to win ugly against these warlocks.
Is my fierce female directing me to lower the boom?
Oh, yeah. She grinned up at her new mate, and he was already grinning at her, because they were about to pull off a coup.
Epilogue. Dungeon of the Disremembered. Quandam. Realm of Those Best Forgotten. Maddox's bloodied fist slammed into Monroe's face, the sound of cracked bone echoing in the dank cell. Monroe had long since stopped trying to reach his mindless friend. The man had been vassaled. Maddox's beast was fully risen, his eyes ghostly blue and vacant. Since Monroe's right eye refused to open, he narrowed his left one at the warlock controlling Maddox. Had other Forgotten called this tormentor Gels? Gels had ordered Maddox to torture Monroe nigh continuously. Neither lycae had slept for days, with scant lulls in the violence. Maddox's fingers were broken from raining blows, the skin over his knuckles raked clean to the bone from Monroe's teeth. But the lycae seemed to feel nothing. The warlock wouldn't allow Maddox to stop until Monroe released his own beast. Though Gels's purple robe covered him from neck to heels, Monroe could tell his frame was spindly. He was bald of hair, his face sunken, so easily broken. Yet Monroe was in no position to attack or to defend himself. He was on his knees, arms stretched tight above him.